1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30, very familiar portion of Scripture. Feeling after God, I hope this is right. 30th verse. And Elijah, 1 Kings 18 and 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. You have to bear with us. Me and my wife both come here sick, head colds, drainage, and I'm going to have God's help. And repair the altar of the Lord that's broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Listen, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water and that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I know you done prayed, but would you stretch your hand this way? Oh, pray for me. I need God to help me. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise your holy, holy, holy and righteous name here tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come by, Lord. Hallelujah. And complete this service according to your will tonight. Anoint us and use us to your glory, to your honor, and according to your will. Jesus' name we pray. Is this ready to go? Hallelujah to God. I want to look at that 38th verse. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I want to preach for a few minutes. Try not to hold you long on this thought. Rekindling the remains of the lost fire. Hallelujah. He said, then the fire of the Lord fell. How many know that fire is a must in the steel business? How many knows that fire is a must in the gold business? How many knows that fire is a must in the gas business, in refining the crude oil? Fire is a must in the automobile industry, for a car cannot run without it. Fire is a must in the survival of humanity. Fire to cook with electric or the gas. Fire to heat the water, to clean and to bathe. How many knows it don't feel good to try to bathe in cold water? How many know that hot water cuts the grease in the dirt whole lot better than the cold water? Hallelujah. And I tell you what, a hot service, amen, a cut the filth and the grime and the crime and the sin and anything that's come into hearts and lives. You know what the church needs more than anything else in this last day? And that is the fire of God to fall again in our hearts and our lives. We don't need just the old automobile or the hull of the shell, but what we need is a fire that'll run it. Amen. Hallelujah. That will operate it. That will maneuver us. That will get us where we need to go. I want to tell you, an altar is good and it's got to be. But it is a must. But an altar without fire is not enough. Amen. A church service is a grand thing and it's ordained by God. And the church was constituted by God. And it's a must for people to go to the house of God. But I want to tell you, it ain't just enough to go. We've got to have the fire in the house of God. It ain't enough to bear the name and to wear the title, but we got to have the fire. Amen. You're right, brother. This nation is sliding every day. You said almost every day. I don't mean to contradict my elder. I believe it's every day. Hallelujah. But you know what? A turning around. It won't be Washington, but in the White House, but it'll be the church house. Amen. And it won't be just the church, but it'll be the fire of God upon the church. Amen. And I feel like tonight, amen, God has still got a great work that he wants to do for his people and his church in the last day. But we got to have the fire of God to get it done. Amen. You can go to town and buy the groceries. You can buy a buggy full. You can buy a truck full. But I want to tell you, without the fire to cook those groceries, it is incomplete. And I'll tell you right now, we can get together for youth camp. We can have work days like this. We can have special services like this. But I'll tell you, that's good. But it ain't enough if the fire of the Lord does not come down in our midst and upon us. Oh, to survive spiritually, you've got to have fire. When you pray to get saved, you need to pray through the rubbish of sin and strife until you hit the rock and the sparks fly. Come on here now. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a feeling like preaching. I don't guess I need them notes. I ain't said nothing on them already. Hallelujah to God. We got a lot of people that's coming to church and amen, they cry a few tears. Thank God to do. That's conviction. You can't come till you get conviction. But I'll tell you, we need some conversions and conversions to come when we hit the rock. It takes more than a creed or two. You got to pray through until you hit the rock and hit the fire. Amen. And the fire keep you. The fire preserve you. Amen. And the fire will put a stability, hallelujah, in you, that you won't be leaving, you won't be yo-yoing, and you won't be up and down and in and out. Thank God for the fire of the Holy Ghost. God burned his church in the fire. He began his church in the fire. And what we need and what God wants is this church to end in this last day in the fire, on fire, afire, burning, blazing, and flaming for the glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, I feel the Lord here. Woo! Hallelujah. And to keep us alive, and to keep us healthy, and to keep the church prosperous, we got to keep the fire. Revelation 3, speaking to the Laodicean church, I know thy works, that thou wert neither cold nor hot. How would thou wert cold or hot? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God don't like his church cold. He don't want the preacher cold. He don't want the musicians cold. He don't want the singers cold. He don't want the testifiers cold. He don't want the laity cold. Amen. That's enough fire for everybody. And God wants his church on fire. Woo! Everyone. No matter who we are, need to fire God. Acts 2 and 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's God's plan. It's God's will for us. How many agree with that? To be on fire for the Lord. How many knows it's to our advantage individually to be on fire? How many knows it's an advantage in our marriage? How many knows it's an advantage to the home and the family? How many knows it's an advantage to the church? How many knows it's an advantage to the community and the job that we work on for the people of God to be on fire? Woo! This fire will heal you spiritually. It'll draw our loved ones to be saved. It'll convince the backslider to come back. This fire will even burn the sickness, disease, and affliction out of our body. Thank God. I hope before we leave here tonight, the fire will come down so strong, so fervent, so hot, hallelujah, that it will do another miracle. As the two young ladies sang, before we leave this building, I heard Brother Archie Morgan say, I wish I could have got it all. Amen. But it didn't hit me so forcefully until it was over with. But he looked around and said something like, sisters, brothers, God can do something in this house tonight. I say with the fire of God, God can do something in this house tonight. Amen. We're bad about looking to yesterday and looking ahead to tomorrow. But what's wrong with now? What's wrong with the present? What's wrong with right now? We thank God for yesterday. Thank God he's faithful and he's going to be here tomorrow. Amen. But we need him right now. Woo. Help me, Lord. Rekindle the flames in our hearts. Rekindle meaning, first of all, there has been a fire, but maybe it's dwindling. The magnitude may not be no longer the same. The flames aren't leaping up and leaping out quite as much. It may be down to coals. It may be down to ashes. But the flames are going out. The flames have died down. The fire is going out. What about you? What about me? What about us tonight? Are we a flaming fire like we once was? Hey, you gonna back up on me now? Hey, I believe we ought to search our own hearts. I believe we ought to search our own lives. I believe we ought to see if we're burning like we used to be. It ain't enough to flicker and simmer and have a bed of coals when we used to be on fire, but we need to get back on fire. Rekindling meaning restart, reset, rebuild, reignite. Oh, rekindle that lost flame of fire. Hey, amen. There was a ship in the Arctic North. After much time, they found that ship and discovered that ship. They maneuvered between the big icebergs and all those things, Brother Yeoman. And they spotted it, and they finally worked their way up to it. And I'm not going to go into all of the details, but they hollered through that little porthole. Hey, man, ship ahoy, I think's what they said. Ship ahoy. Nobody responded. Nobody, they didn't get nothing. They said, well, maybe they're asleep. And they kept on and they kept on. And finally, they managed to work their way on board. And what they found out was that somewhere they had run out of food. They run out of everything. Hallelujah. And they all froze to death. And this, listen to this. Someone came upon the captain's logbook and noted that the last entry that the captain had made in the logbook was this: for a whole day now, the steward has been trying to rekindle the remains of a lost fire. I don't know, but I feel it in my soul. Amen. If you're here tonight, amen, you've been trying to rekindle it, and it seemed like it hadn't happened. I feel the Holy Ghost here, and I feel the gentle breeze of the Spirit of God, and I believe he'd like to blow on your ashes and on your flame and on your flicker. Hallelujah. Get it to flaming again, and get it burn it again. That's what God's got to have if the church is going to go on, if the church is going to be in power, if the church is going to have strength, if the church is going to bear their children. We got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I feel this in my heart. Listen and notice in verse 30, Elijah's request. He said, come near unto me. Come close. Come near. Let's get together concerning this matter. There's power in numbers. How many know that? So let's come close together, the prophet said, and let's not be divided. Don't the Bible say a house divided shall fall, but the one united shall stand? It's a cold world out there, church. The closer we are to the, hallelujah, to the Him, the warmer it will be, the safer it will be. Let's come near. Let's don't go apart. Hey, let me tell you something. I realize more right now than I ever have in my ministry. The older I get, we need one another more than we ever have. Don't ever get to to the place you don't think you need nobody else. You don't need your brother. You don't need your sister. You don't need the local church that has the same faith, the same doctrine. We need one another in this last day. We need to come together. We need to bind together. We need to tie together. We need to pray together. We need to worship together. We need to bombard heaven together. We need the people of God in this last day to come together. Hallelujah, more than we ever have. Amen. The prophet said, come near to me. But I feel like Jesus is saying, come church. Come my brother. Come my blood bought and my redeemed. Come where? Come near to him. Come near to the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and with fire. I don't know what time it was when I started. We cannot successfully rekindle this flame except we unite, come close. Oh, this is my heart. Pull together, work together, pray together, sing together, worship together, preach together, catch on fire together. We all have one common denominator, and that is Jesus Christ. And as we all draw near to him, with him, being in the center of everything, we will come together as one in Christ. And as we all come together and one in him, we get near to him. Amen. We will be near, as I've done said, the baptizer. Oh, the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Amen. They were with all in one accord, in one place. And what happened? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one of them. Oh, hallelujah to God. One place to get on fire. One mind to get on fire. One heart to get on fire. One spirit to get on fire. One goal, one thought of the church, and that is to get near Jesus and catch on fire. Tell me, hallelujah. I'm just going to be myself. Hey, man, you go over yonder. You go over yonder. I told you to come here, but we'll start a different way. Hallelujah. We're going to get on fire. And there ain't but one common denominator, and that's Jesus Christ, the baptizer of the Holy Ghost in fire. Hey, man, we got to come together. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, we got to get together. Praise the Lord. Hey, man, you know, I felt the spirit of unity when it come in this house tonight, and I sensed we started kind of getting a little more together, didn't you? We may have come with our minds scattered on what we done today and how tired we was from work day, but I noticed when the presence of the Lord come in, we kind of started coming more together. Hallelujah. You know what? If we all together and the fire falls on you, I believe it's going to get on me. And when it gets on me, I believe it's going to get on him. And if everybody's together, I believe it'll go all the way around, and I believe it's enough for everybody in the house. Oh, Lamb of God, forever, you don't build a fire laying a piece of wood over there and a piece of wood over there and a piece of wood over there. Amen. You put it in a pile and you stack it all up. Amen. And you lay it, hallelujah, right together, and you put it all together. You don't throw it around here and yonder, but you put it together. And I feel like God is saying, I got a fire, amen, to fall on Calvary Holy Church. Let's come together. Let's get together. Let's come together. And we'll come together tonight. It ain't a big crowd, but it don't have to be a big crowd to get the fire of God and the power of God. Amen. Hey, the prophet said, come together. And I believe our great prophet, Jesus Christ, the prophet of all prophets, is saying, let's get together. Come near me. Come close to me. I've got a blessing for you. I've got fire for you. Listen, come near to God. Come near to his word. Come near to God in every way. That ain't all he said. In verse 30, he said, come near unto me. But then notice, not only Elijah's request, but he said, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Notice not only Elijah the prophet's request, but notice his repair. Come on now. Amen. Oh, help me here. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I'm going to have faith. You're going to stay with me. Amen. I'm going to try to not preach too long. Amen. I hope I haven't preached long already. If that's enough, I'll just stop. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know what? Amen. The request was to repair the altar. Hallelujah. And you know what? I found out the first thing that slips from us when we begin to lose the fire of God is the altar slips out of our life. If it don't get all the way out, it don't keep priority. It comes second, third, fourth. Amen. Will you say amen, preacher? Hallelujah. I've been there. I'm not preaching with my finger pointing one way. You know, when you do that, you got more coming back your way than y'all about yonder, don't you? Hallelujah to God. I'm preaching not on what I heard, but I'm preaching on what I know. Hallelujah to God. I want to tell you, amen, if you feel the joy of dying in your soul, if you feel the happiness and contentment, and you feel that you used to feel is draining away, I tell you what you need to do. You need to repair the altar. You need to build it back. You need to secure the altar again. You need to lay hold of the altar, amen, with both hands, with all your heart, and hold on. You know, if you'll ride that altar, you'll make it. I said, if you'll ride that altar, you'll make it not just part way, but you'll make it all the way. My brother, Joel, one of my twins, some of you know, he came to me way back many years ago. He's 10 years younger. I think he's 39 now. Not quite 10 because I ain't 49 yet. I don't want to make that sound worse than it is. Hallelujah. But you know what? He came to me one day and his face was like about that long. He had a look in his eyes and said, I ain't going to make it. He is hanging down, shaking his head. And he's a very strong-willed person. It's rare to see him like that. Hey, man, he's so determined. I'd hate to be what was between him and what he wanted to accomplish, to be honest with you. He ain't here, and he ain't going to buy it. If you tape it, he ain't going to buy it, so I have to say it. Hallelujah. But you know what? I listened him out. I heard him out. I felt his pain. I saw his hurt. Hallelujah. And I saw where he was at, and I was like for a loss to start with. But then I felt a touch. Hallelujah. That wasn't Joel's touch, but it was his touch. And I felt the Lord come on me. Hallelujah. I say that humbly. And I said, son, amen, I remember when you testified about that trail you had leaving the house and going through the woods. And you had it on an old oak ridge back there. And you had laid up some rocks and built you an altar. And how God had visited you there time and time again. You know what the children of Israel needed? They needed to repair their altar so the fire of God could come down on them again. Amen. And this young man, my brother, hallelujah, what he needed more than anything else was a fire of God to come on him again. Hallelujah. And I told him, I said, how long's it been since you've been there? I thought I'd knocked the breath out of him. I said, oh Lord, I thought it was you. I didn't mean to finish him off. He shook his head and he said, tears started running down his face. And he said, you're right. I was pastoring him then. He called me pastor, even though we're brothers. And he crawled up in his truck and away he went. Hallelujah to God. He testified later. Hallelujah. With a glow on his face and a spring in his step. He said, I got there. Hallelujah. And as leaves fell in the path to the altar, I got there and the squirrels had cracked hickory nuts on top of my altar. He said, I got there and leaves had covered my altar. And I could, it was obvious I'd been a long time being there. But he said, with tears, I bowed down and I cleaned it off and I began to pull for heaven. Amen. Let me tell you, my friend, I don't care what trouble you got. I don't care what you're going through. If you'll come back to the altar and rebuild the altar and commune with God, God will move again. God will work again. God will touch again. God's fire will fall again. I say to somebody tonight in the church of this last day, what we need to do more than anything else is to repair our altars. Oh, God. The altar stands for communion. Oh, we're not talking about communion between preacher or the saints. We're talking about with God. In other words, if you hadn't been praying like you used to, if I hadn't been praying like you used to, we know to do, hallelujah, like we should do, we need to repair the altar. Do you know when we get away from the altar, everything seems to go bad in the spiritual realm? I know the Lord had you standing a while ago and you're sitting now, but this is just as important as that other part. Hallelujah to God. Help me, Lord, and touch me right here. Do you know what? Things run smoother in the house, in the home, and with a husband and wife when we got the altar repaired. Come on here now. Woo! It won't be such. Lord, this ain't my nose. Is it legal to preach as long as it's right? If it's right, can I preach it? It won't be snapping and backbiting. If the altar hadn't fell down. But if the altars fell down, every relationship in your life will decay and deteriorate and begin to decline every time. When you let this go down, you are standing at a distance and afar from the Lord in His presence, and you cannot, hallelujah, keep the same relationship except you keep the altar repaired. Woo! It's kind of like this. It's supposed to be a true story, and it don't fall out with me. It sounds kind of rough, but they say it really happened. They said it was in a long hallway of a big business building. And like the maintenance man looked down the hall, and it was a man trying to get a drink of water out of the fountain. And he's a pushing and a feeling, and he's standing back, and he couldn't figure out how to get the water on. And way down the hall, that maintenance man saw him and knew what he wanted. And he started shouting, "Stoop and drink!" Had an electric eye on it. All he had to do was that, and he'd come on, he drank to his fill. But he was so far away, he thought that man was saying, "Stupid!" The man turned up, bristled up, started from, "What do you call me?" He said, "Nothing. Stoop and drink." He turned around, stooped over, the water shot out. He drank real full. Smiled away back and went on his way. You know what? When the preacher preaches the truth, come on now. Every preacher ought to say amen anyway. And you feel like he's on your toes. You feel like he's doing it just because of you. And he may not even know about it. Amen. It's because you're living too far away. That ain't what he's saying. He's saying, "I love you and the Lord loves you, but you need to talk. Hallelujah, to the altar and get the power of God again." Amen. Everybody's troubles and the church's troubles is they live too far from the altar of God and everything falls apart. But I tell you what, pull back up to the altar and every relationship in your life will get sweeter and better. Hallelujah. It'll get like milk and honey when you first got saved. When somebody shout glory. I'm almost done. I do know they're cooking out there, and I figure the roast and the toast. I hope it don't, but sometimes it gets ahead of the Holy Ghost. Elijah's request. Elijah's repair. Now I want to end with this. God's response. God's reaction to them drawing near and them repairing the altar. My friend, when God's people come together at the altar and repair the altar, God's got a response every time. You may differ with me, and that's fine. I'm going to love you. We ain't going to argue about it, because Brother Neil said something years ago, and I never forgot. He said, arguing is a sign of doubt. He said, if you're fully convinced, quit arguing about it. I don't know. Maybe I got tired of arguing or tired of losing the argument, so I took him at his word. I quit arguing. Do you know what? God responds every time when people come together, his people, and repair the altar. Listen, 38th verse. Then, meaning after this, after they come together, and after they repair the altar, the fire fell on them. Hallelujah, God. You didn't know what I was going to preach. If I got a chance to preach, hallelujah to God. But when we's up here praying for, what's the sister's name? Shrouder. Oh, she came to the March meeting. We prayed for her. I felt the Lord so strong. I thought, sure, you'd be well, sister. Hallelujah. But I ain't lost faith. Hallelujah. But I thought a while ago, I said, Lord, they don't even know what I'm preaching. And here she is, come up here. And at least part of us gathered around her. Hallelujah to God. It was coming together. And I said, Lord, what we need now is a fire to fall. Hallelujah to God. I want to tell you right now, my friend. Amen. I said one time, and I stick to it, whether you believe it or not. You ask me one thing that the church lacks, that will rearrange the whole church world and everybody around us. And that is the altar and prayer. Come back in our life like the church used to have and like we begin with. Don't you tell me God will honor it every time. I said God will honor it every time. God will come every time. God will respond to his people when they come together and they call on heaven. God will move. God still works. God will still do it. God wants to do it. God will do it. And I'd like to tell you, God's going to do it. Amen. Because the people of the Lord is going to come together around the altar, and the fire of God is going to fall again. For the fire fell, consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When God's people came together and repaired the altar. The fire is our solution, and the fire is at the altar. I was too young to do it, I'm sure. But you know, when you're young, we got young people here, so I better be careful. Let me say, when I was young, I didn't have the best of sense, probably ain't now. But I was preaching and evangelizing. I was in Florida. I'll leave it at that. And it was one of them rallies where it's supposed to all come together. Hallelujah. And an older preacher got up. It was in the fellowship. He said, there ain't no need expecting God to move. Them days is over. My church is doing the way. Ain't nobody heart of me and my family. I'm thinking about selling my church. It's over. It's done. It's finished. God ain't gonna move no more. It's done. It's finished. It's over. Hallelujah. Here we are in a rally. It's supposed to be a youth rally. And got the youth in the fellowship. They're sitting out there. I'll tell you something. You say what you want to, but it come all over me. Hallelujah to God. I got up. And in a good, I hope it was a good, I hope it was, brother. But in a good way, he was sitting on the front pew. I said, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I said, if you'll put wood on your fire, the fire fall again. And God will work again. And God will move again. But hey, come on here now. And I'll tell you right now, if your life's void and your life's empty. And by the way, God anointed too.
Hallelujah to God. You know why? Because it's the truth. I just feel like telling somebody, hey man, we need to get a little more wood on the fire tonight. We need to chuck up the big log. Hallelujah. Let it last a while. We need to take the poker out. And we need to poke it. God ain't finished. God like to fall again tonight. He'd like to fall in the end of service. He'd like to do something great. Hallelujah. Right here again. Give somebody a new testimony. Give them another song. Amen. Give them a fresh start. Give them a new beginning. Hallelujah to God. We can do it. You're the people of God. We'll come together at the altar of God. God has a response for His people.
Oh, I feel this down in my soul. I'm trying to hurry. Peter in prison. The Bible said he came to the house of Mary, to the mother of John. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Amen. The Bible said where many were gathered together praying, they came together and built the altar, repaired the altar. Glory to God. Woo! They came near, they came close. Hallelujah. Around the altar. Are you getting this? I'm trying to hurry. Are you getting this? Hallelujah. And then the Bible said, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off, and his hands and his feet. And as he went out, the gate sprung open, and he walked into the inner prison, to the outer gates, and all the way out to the outside. You know why? The church came together. Amen. They came near, and they came together at an altar prayer, and the Lord responded. I'll tell you right now, hell can't make me doubt it. The devil can't make me doubt it. The church of the living God gathered around the altar. Amen. God still will move for His people.
Let me tell you how I look at it personally. Yes, I got unanswered prayers just like you do. But don't ever blame God.
I tell you what He's been dealing with me to do. Put another piece of wood on the altar. Come a little nearer to the altar. Hallelujah. Remember that day when my daddy had that heat stroke? He barely made it to the front porch and he fell in a chair. Mama got him a glass of water because he wanted it. His feet began to draw and go under him. His mouth began to twist. And his hands come together till we couldn't pull the glass out. Mama tried, none of us could get it out. He couldn't talk. And life was going away. Hallelujah. Mama got on the phone and called the preacher. She called the brothers that she could. And said, if you can come, come quick. But if you can't, hit your knees. Marlon's had a heat stroke and looks like he's going to die. Whew. The wife and the children began to pray. The preacher prayed coming. The brothers and sisters prayed coming. And they all gathered close. And after a while, we saw it as it began to loosen up. We saw his mouth start going straight. We saw his hands turn loose of the glass. Mama slipped it out. We saw his feet come up over him. And he had that faraway look. A little bit we heard him say, glory to God. A little bit he said, glory to God. A little bit louder. A little bit he said, glory to God. And a little bit them hands started up. He said, glory to God. Wasn't long, he's on his feet. And he said, glory to God. What was it? God responded to the people that draw near to the altar and bombarded heaven.
Say it again. I'm going to end this way. I got to close. I got to quit. You ain't going to come tomorrow. Say, that long-winded preacher ain't coming out again. Hallelujah.
Brother Archie, I felt the Lord earlier when you said, brothers and sisters, ever how you said it, God will do it tonight. Praise God. Got me a song ready? Start playing that a little bit. Hallelujah. I don't know all your needs and your troubles. How could I? I don't even know most of them. You don't know me. But surely, for the most part, most of you has been in this thing long enough to know that the way out is to come near to the altar and wait for the response of God. That don't mean lay down there and just do nothing. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth a little bit.
Much. 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 Much.
Don't let the devil alter that in your mind. The Bible is right. Feel the Holy Ghost in, brother. Just thought this. I believe the Lord brought it to my mind. Come up here with me a minute. I feel exactly for this family what you feel. Stand right there. I believe the Lord brought this to my mind. True story. I forgot what country it's in, but a missionary was over doing a great work in one of the countries. And every service, there was a blind man. Come and said, anoint me with oil and pray for me that I might see. He never saw a day in his life. This went on for 10 years. The missionary went to itinerate like they have to do. While he was gone, every service he come up and said, would you pray for me and anoint me with oil that I might see? He'd done it so many times, most of the people looked at it as just a ritual and a form and just some part of the service they were going to have to go through before they could get to the end of the service. But not that man. Every time he done it was getting him nearer and nearer to the great prophet. Not Elijah, but Jesus. And the closer he got, the more it demanded a response from God. The missionary came back. Feel the Holy Ghost here. And then come the man. And he come running. And he come leaping and he come working his way. Nobody lead him. And he wasn't feeling with his foot. And he wasn't feeling with his hand. And he didn't have a stick that was feeling away. And it wasn't going off the sound of the missionary's voice to know which direction to go. He run up and grabbed him around the neck. First time he saw it was when he come to service. He grabbed him around the neck. He said, whoa, what's happened to you? He said, while you was gone, I come one more time. And God healed my blinded eyes. And I now see. He said, the devil say, quit coming. But Jesus say, keep coming. The devil will tell you to quit coming. But long as you coming to this, the Lord ain't telling you to quit coming. It's got to be the devil. Woo! So I come to tell you, it may have come 999 times. And the devil may be saying, don't do it again. You're wasting your time. It'll be another form. It'll be one more time. Hallelujah, you don't know till you come. What my invitation is tonight, no matter how many times You've come. One more time. And let's come near at the altar. And this could be. This may be. It's very likely to be. It's possible to be. It has a great chance to be. The very time that we get the response that we've been looking for. Oh, I'm trying to close. Am I preaching too long? When we married this July, 30 years ago, July the 18th, she's a very sick woman, had lung disease. Been to many doctors. All of them, the best she had, the only one that could help her, said it incurable. Sent the records to Montgomery where I lived and where we moved to. Said she'll have to stay on the doctor's care and she'll go to early grave. There's no way around it. If you want her to die quick, let her inhale any kind of smoke. Keep her away from cigarettes. Keep her away from every kind of smoke. It'll shut her lungs down. She was in and out of hospital for years. I was in love. I married her anyway. It's the will of God. When she fell sick on me and I didn't have insurance like her dad and mom had, and I didn't have money to pay the doctor bills, walking that old rocky ground in Elmo County, Alabama, crying, saying, God, what am I going to do? The devil jumped on one shoulder and said, I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to bury your young wife. You can believe what you want to believe. I ain't going to beg you to believe me, but it's like I got called away into something. And the devil showed me falling and people holding me up, falling the casket. God climbed upon the other shoulder, if I can put it that way. After a while of fighting and wrestling, and said, son, if you'll draw near to me, and if you'll obey me, I'm going to prove myself to you. I ran to that old pole shack of a barn in my granddaddy's as I'd bought his place and fell face down in the old mule stall and began to bombard heaven. I went in the morning. I went in the evening. I set the clock. First thing you know, clock didn't have to wake me up. I undone the clock before it undone me. I quit eating. I eat some. Working, building a big rich man's horse barn in the middle of a hayfield. It wasn't cell phones and it sure wasn't a landline then to go out there. And I leaned a piece of plywood up on the side of the wall to get in the shade. While they eat and drank their food at lunchtime, I climbed up onto the plywood with my Bible. Occasionally, I'd drink a little water. I'd go pray and have her to come time and again, and nothing happened. But it was something driving me down inside and said, don't you quit. God said he would show himself to you. So I kept coming. And you know what? God, went out in Oak Grove, side of the hill, that's Healy Country. And I'm preaching too long. Y'all pray I hush. I feel like God's trying to build somebody's faith tonight is what I really believe. And I pray God use me. I don't even want to go, so I hope he is. I hope he is. If he ain't, I don't even want to do what I'm doing. I can't do nothing, but God can do everything. So she couldn't even call and tell me. I got home that evening. She was standing there washing dishes. She hadn't done that. She was confined to the bed. Just about wouldn't eat nothing. She hadn't vacuumed the house. She hadn't washed the dishes. She ain't done nothing. Much of nothing. Couldn't feel like it. Didn't have the strength to do it. And I looked. She had vacuumed the floors. She'd made the bed for the first time in several days. She pretty much had it all done with finishing up them last dishes. She'd had a good husband all the head. I'd probably done had that done. God forgive me. I asked him before. I'd do it again. She turned and looked at me with a big old smile. I come up, put an arm around her. I said, honey, you got something to tell me? She said, yeah. She said, sometime after you left, I felt the glory of God come down and get in the top of my head, run all the way through me, and go out me. And said, strength immediately come in me. And I got up. And I've been about the work of the house ever since. You talking about shouting ground. That very day, coming home, you call it like a fake call. I'm being honest. Some people won't be honest, but I'm going to be honest with you. I fought it tooth and toenail. That devil said, you done fasted. You're too weak to hardly work. You laying on the plywood, begging on God while they eating and doing all this. And you done prayed. You done gave it all you got. And God ain't done it. You had well quit and give it up. All right, thing. If he'd have got me to agree to him then, it might have been taken away. But little did I know, God had done it. This is where the answer is. This is where the healing is. This is where the miracle is. This is where the answer is. This is where the problem solved. This is where God works like no other place. Don't give up coming to this altar. The fire fell on the altar. It's always fell on the altar. And where the fire is, it's where the power of God is. And the works of God is accomplished on the altar. Lord Jesus, I preach my heart. You laid on my heart. I hope I didn't preach too long, Lord. I hope I hadn't wearied the people. God, I'm just trying my best. Hallelujah, to deliver my soul and do your will. God, I believe there's something more you want to do in this service. I believe there's something much more important right here tonight at this altar than going into fellowship. Oh! Those that feel like giving up, the Lord, the devil said, don't go again. Don't try again. Throw in the towel. You may as well accept the verdict of now. My friend, God has a last word. God has a last say. God has a last will and testament when it comes to the blood bought and the blood washed of Jesus Christ. My word to you is the same word the prophet of God gave many years ago to the people of Israel that needed a miracle. That's come near. Come near. Come near. Come near. Come close. Come together. Where? At this altar. At this altar. Hallelujah. Come as you are. Come with your need. Come with your trouble. Come sensitive with God. Come obedient to the Spirit. Come open to God. Come again. If it's your thousandth time, come again. If you feel like going to somebody and laying your hands on them, praying with them, obey God. Hallelujah. God's still real, church. God's still real, church. Let me tell you something. He don't have to come in a bolt of lightning. He don't have to come with a roaring, hallelujah, thunders. He don't come in a boombox every time. You don't turn cartwheels every time. You don't run the back of the pews every time. But let me tell you something right now. Amen. All he's got to do is speak the word. All he's got to do is come in a gentle, still, small form. All he's got to do, it can be just as calm as anything, but just as powerful as ever. The power of God is not necessarily in the emotions. No, sir. Hallelujah. Reach out to the Lord. Reach out to God. Reach up to God.